Good morning. Thank you to be here. My name is Carlo Pavletto. I work for the Technological Center of Acciona Construction. He's a Spanish-based contractor, but we operate all around the world. I'm a little embarrassed to be here because I need to bring you from the clean sky to the dirt, because we normally operate in the dirt environment of a work site. And I try to, the objective of my presentation is try to give you a global overview of why composites are used in the construction industry. And to do that, I structure my presentation in three main parts. The first part is to try to explain you the reason of the use of the composite in infrastructure. The second part, the type of application that you can encounter in the infrastructure. And the third part is devoted to waste management. The most important reason why we think why composites are used in infrastructure is to try to reduce maintenance costs. You can see there are some numbers. These numbers are provided by the Federal Highway Administration. This is the administration that takes care of highway in the United States. And you see the annual direct cost that stems from corrosion only for highway bridges in the United States, $8.3 billion. And also an estimation on indirect cost you have each year in the United States only for highway bridges. So it's 10 times $8.3 billion. So you understand that composite is very attractive for curbing these costs, because the very good things of composite that don't suffer from galvanic corrosion. So if this material do not suffer from galvanic corrosion, there is a good chance that we can reduce very much this cost, and especially this maintenance cost. And nowadays this is very interesting, both for the public client, because everybody knows that more or less all the states have very stretched budget. They don't have money to maintain the infrastructure. So they want to limit the costs of infrastructure maintenance. And also, as a private contractor, we have interest in curbing these costs, because nowadays, often, and very frequently, the new projects are bidded in the forms of design, construction, and maintenance. So this means that we need to design the infrastructure, we need to build the infrastructure, but we also need to maintain the infrastructure. It means that we need to keep the infrastructure for 30 years. So if we are able to limit the maintenance cost in the first 30 years, we can improve our benefits. The second reason why we knew the use of composite material is interesting in infrastructure is because often we need to operate in very complex logistics. This is an example on the left of a bridge in one of the countries we operate, is Gabon in Central Africa. And you see that this bridge are not exactly a bridge. So it's very, you cannot transport very heavy elements through these bridges. Often happens that also these bridges, the local remove the board on the deck, and you have to pay them to put the board back there to pass. So it's a really complicated logistics. And often you don't have a very powerful crane. So to move things, often you use an excavator and use the excavator as a crane. So the advantage of the composite is that you can reduce very much the cost. And the reduction of the weight simplify enormously the logistics in this very complicated environment. So, for example, there is an example here, the difference of the weight between a 40 meter long reinforced concrete girder is more or less 30 tons, and the equivalent 14 long FRP girder is more 4 tons. So it's much easier to move 4 tons in, with this ancillary equipment than 30 tons. Another reason is that often when you think about civil engineering, you think the work site like on the left side. So you have a lot of space, you can have big machines moving there, you are free to do what you want. But actually, very often, the large part of the, many times, the work site is like that one on the right. This is a bridge that is, was built in the Mexico City by a Spanish contractor. It's called Viaducto Bicentenario, and the work site is just that street in the middle of the two lanes of the highway. So if you want to operate in such a narrow environment with all these constrictions, you have to rely heavily on prefabrications. This bridge is practically all prefabricated. The column are prefabricated, the deck is prefabricated. Also, the part of the foundation is prefabricated. And composites are, fits with this philosophy of prefabrications, because you cannot manufacture anything at site. The composites are prefabricated, and so the prefabrication helps us to reduce the time for the erection. And the time for the erection of the infrastructure is another important aspect, because nowadays, you think that people is happy when you are building a new infrastructure. Actually, it's not like this, because they see you as an obstacle between your home and the world. If you are stuck in a traffic jam for half an hour, do one of these work sites, you're really angry. You're not so. And also the politicians are pushing us to shorten the work site. The work site work. So, if with the prefabrication we are able to shorten the length, shorten the work, so reduce the impact on the neighborhood, if you want. So this is another important aspect to take into account when we consider the application of composite material to infrastructure. Let's move to the main applications of composite in infrastructure. The most popular, and probably I think the most popular and the first application of composite in the construction industry is to strengthen reinforced concrete elements. Generally, for these operations, we normally use carbon fiber. This carbon fiber is provided generally as or pultruded strips, or we use a wet layup at site. You see some example, the confinement of a column, strengthening of a joint, column beam joint, and another strengthening of a joint between two beams. Let's say that this is the first applications, and this is reflected of number of codes that you can find that regulate the application of composite to strengthen reinforced concrete elements. There are the American ACI, the Italian CNR, the Swiss SIA, and there are many. If you want to have the complete list, you can enter the site of the website of the International Institute for FRP in Construction. There are the list of all the norms that deals with these type of applications. The main advantage, I forgot to say, the main advantage of using composites in this kind of operation that you can use also steel plates. This was in the past was done using steel plates, but it's very complicated to move steel plates at the work site, especially because they are very heavy. So when you have to glue, for example, something on the soffit of a beam, it's very uncomfortable if you have to keep the steel plates. It's very easy if you have to use a carbon fiber fabrics, is much easier and much safer for the workers. So this is the main reason why they are so that they use it so common in the industry. Another use, that is another common use of composite, is as internal reinforcement of concrete elements. Generally, this kind of application, we use bars that are normally produced by pultrusion, and they are generally glass fiber because they are cheap. And we use different type of resin depending on the final applications. For permanent applications like reinforcing concrete deck, we use vinyl esters. And for temporary application like the what is called soft type, or doing tunneling, we use polyester. The reason is that vinyl ester protect the glass fiber from the alkali environment of the concrete. So if you want to permanent application, you use vinyl ester. If you need to use the bars for temporary applications, like the one on the right side, we use polyester. The reason, just to brief explanation, why we use GFRP on the bridge deck, because especially in the winter regions, during the winter time, you spread salt on the road to keep them free from the ice. Salt is when it's very aggressive for steel. So to solve the problem of the corrosion, you use generally GFRP rebars are used, and this kind of application is very common due to the fact that for a deck you always use straight rebars. Straight rebars you can produce straight rebars by pultrusion. They are cheap. The big problem is to produce bent rebars, because it's very easy to bend steel rebars outside, but it's almost impossible to bend a GFRP rebars outside. You have to produce the rebars in the factory, and the production of curved rebars is more or less manual. There is not an automatic process. The on the right, the use is just to protect the cutter of the tunnel boring machine. When we enter the wall, when we dig a metro line, generally we build a station. The tunnel boring machine is assembled in the pit. We start digging, and at the same time we start building the other station. At one point, the tunnel boring machine had to enter the station has already been excavated, so had to perforate one of the walls. If you use steel rebars, what you do is you damage the cutting edge of the tunnel boring machine. So for this reason, in the part in which the tunnel boring machine went through the wall, we use GFRP rebars because they are easily to break and they don't damage the cutters of the tunnel boring machine. Another type of application, this more recent one, is nowadays we are able to build entire element made of composite. If you can do that, you can take advantage of all the aspects of the composites. The fact that they don't suffer from a galvanic corrosion, the fact that they are light, and the fact that they are you can rely on their prefabrication. You can find three types of applications. On the left, you have a bridge. Gilbert, we built in Gabon, in Central Africa. In the central picture, you see what is called a dolphin. We manufacture a couple of dolphins in the port of the Rosario in Canary Islands. And on the right is a lighthouse we built for the new port of Valencia. I want to describe a little bit more the central application because it's really interesting. And then what dolphins are, I don't know if you know what these dolphins are. Dolphins are mooring points for ships. When they arrive, the ships use these mooring points to moor the vessels. And generally, they are built in Spain using reinforced concrete blocks. One of these reinforcing concrete blocks can weigh around 9,000 tons. And to build this castle, normally you have two options. The first one, you use a barge. You build the castle on a barge, floating. Then you submerge the barge, and the castle floats. And then you move the castle afloat, and then you sink the castles where you need. Another option is to build the castle dry on the yard, but generally to do this operation is very complicated due to the weight. You have to reinforce the yard, and the loadout from the yard to the water is really complicated because you need in any way a barge to move the structure there, and then put the structure afloat. In this case, we built a big box made of FRP on the yard. It's very light. Then with a simple crane, we were able to move this box. Is a very small crane. The crane took the box from the yard and put in the water. The box was floating, so with a boat we dragged this structure afloat. We towed this structure afloat where in the water, where the point was finally set on the seabed. So we actually simplified a lot the operation for the construction of these elements. At the same time, since the FRP doesn't suffer from galvanic corrosion, we can expect a longer life for these elements. One of the main obstacles of using composites in civil engineering for infrastructure was the lack of codes. In the past, code existed only European recommendations from the 70s, called Eurocom. Existed a norm in the Netherlands called CUR 96. Recently, is under preparation a new Eurocode, which will be the 11 Eurocodes on the application of FRP in infrastructure. There are two technical notes for the preparation of this Eurocode that probably will be ready by 2020, the first version. Moving to the waste management of these composites. You can see there is a list of the main way you can deal with waste coming from FRP. The most common one is the landfilling. Landfilling, the most common way to dispose of FRP waste. The problem with the good things of landfilling is that it's cheap. This is the reason why it's very common. The problem with landfilling is that the European Commission is starting to limit this practice. In Germany is already prohibited, so probably will be prohibited very soon in whole Europe. And so we need to find a solution for these things, because nowadays probably narrow space is not a problem, but for example for marine for a small vessel, they produce a lot of GRP waste. It's the first source of GFRP waste in the world, the marine industry with the small vessel. And what is expected in the future, a very large producer of GFRP waste will be the wind energy industry. From first calculation, we expected that by 2050, we need to deal with more or less 200,000 tons of GFRP per year. So landfilling, if landfilling will be prohibited, will be very complicated to deal with all these materials. The second way to dispose GFRP waste is incineration, with or without energy recovery. And then after you have incinerated the GFRP, you need to do something with the ashes. You can dispose the ashes, you can landfill in the ashes, or for example in the construction industry there is a Swiss cement producer that owns Holcim that has developed a method to use these ashes as a precursor for the production of cement in the clean. The best way to recycle the GFRP would be to reuse it. Nowadays, the most common way to reuse it is to chop it, grind it at the level of a powder, and to use a filler for plastics. To reduce this material to powder, you use a lot of energy, so it would be much better to try to use larger parts. There are two kinds of application here to research. One is to use, for example, on the left you see the scrap coming from the production of GFRP rebars for reinforcing concrete. They are chopped, and there is some test to use them as aggregate for concrete. It's a research project. There are some inconvenient because it's not very clear how the interface between cement past and this structure works, especially because they have a very cylindrical shape, they are very smooth, so it's not really very clear if it works. And the second one, another attempt to use GFRP rebars, not to use these GFRP rebars as needles to strengthen concrete. More interesting is this one, in which you try to use large pieces of composite for different applications. This should be the way you try to reuse composite. It's really complicated because composite parts are different, for example, from a steel beam. Steel beam is a steel beam. I can take from a building and use another building very easily. But for example, a wind blade is really complicated because I don't know generally the mechanical properties because they are patented. They are not disclosed by the producer. So even if I take out wind blades from a windmill, I don't know the original stacking sequence of the element, and I don't know the property that this material has after 25 years of operation. This is really complicated. But these are two works. This is a research project between Georgia Tech, universities, the City University of New York, and Queen University of Belfast, in which they try to reuse wind blades for houses, for affordable houses for developing country, and another attempt to use wind blades to manufacture pedestrian bridges. As far as I know, this is the last news that I have. Last week, the first bridge produced using wind blades was installed in Poland. So it seems that this idea is promising. I don't know if it will stop here, it would be some
other application, but it's really interesting to know. And the big problem with the composite nowadays is that since they have a very long life, it's really it's not really a problem for recycling. But we need to take into account that we are building offshore wind farms at very high annual, very high number of wind offshore wind farms each year nowadays in Europe, and these plates, the rule of thumb is more or less 1 ton of GFRP for 1 megawatt of power of these turbines, and we are talking about of turbine nowadays between 10 and 12 megawatt each one. So a field that has probably 50, 60, 100 of these turbines is a lot of quantity of GFRP we need to recycle in the future. So it's better to think how to do that. This is what I want to present. This is probably a general overview of the application in civil engineering. I hope it will be interesting for you, even if it's your field. And if you have any question, I will try to answer you. I don't know if I can, but I try.